Well, Sonny, I really appreciate you answering the bell here with the COVID and everything that you've got. Thanks a lot.
Yes, it is the COVID. So I apologize in advance for any, my voice, first of all, any sniffling, any coughing. I'll try to mute myself to alleviate the audience from having to hear that.
Yeah. So Hogan Gidley is traveling. So it's just you and me. I'm Tim Murtaugh and Sonny Joy Nelson here. And you can't get COVID over the electronic link that we have here, right, in our little virtual studio, I don't think.
I am really hoping not, because this has been rough. And actually, I have to say, too, it started with my baby. My poor little baby had it first. And now he's passed it on to me and his dad, but I'd rather have it than him.
Oh, everybody's got it, huh?
Oh, yeah. My mom's got it. Yeah.
Wow. I've had it a few times. The last time it was, let me say, it was no fun.
Wait, let me say, I actually texted this to my husband earlier. I thought you could only get COVID one time.
Oh, no.
Wasn't that the deal there for a while? Have
antibodies? You get natural immunity lasts for a good while, like a month. I'm no doctor, but natural immunity does last for a little while, but then it fades and then you can get it again. I've had it at least twice and I think probably three times.
Oh, well, hopefully you don't get it through this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, let's move on, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. It's Groundhog Day, by the way, with the day that we're taping this. Are you familiar with the movie? Have you seen the great movie?
Groundhog Day? No, but I did see I was watching Fox and Friends this morning when the groundhog, what he did or did not see his shadow.
He did not see his shadow, and so that means an early spring.
Yes, that was the result I was hoping for.
Right.
It seemed like a big to-do, too. There were thousands of people there to watch this.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a big deal. It's been going on since, like, the late 19th century there in Punxsutawney, PA. There's lots of different groundhogs who supposedly predict the weather in Pennsylvania and other states. But Punxsutawney Phil is the king of them all.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have not. No, I've never been to the groundhog thing. No, I've passed through Punxsutawney, but not on Groundhog Day or for the thing. I need to go back for a second. Okay. You haven't seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Tim, you remember when we did our Christmas movie special?
Right.
Me and movies just don't really go hand in hand. I end up falling asleep. Or it loses my attention. I'm very bad with movies.
Okay. Well, I recommend, this is not like a Christmas movie or anything. It's not a movie for any particular time of year. It happens to be called Groundhog Day because that's when it takes place in the movie. But it's about a cynical weatherman played by Bill Murray who drives, I think, presumably from Pittsburgh, although I don't know that that's ever said, drives to Punxsutawney to cover the Groundhog Day thing. And by some weird mystical quirk, he gets trapped in a loop and he has to keep reliving Groundhog Day over and over and over and over again. But no one else in Punxsutawney and the people that he meets and the people that he works with, his television, like his cameraman and his producer and all that stuff, they're not reliving it over and over and over again. It's just him.
Just okay.
Yeah. And so that's why it has now entered sort of the culture and the lexicon where people say, oh, it's a whole Groundhog Day thing. That means a tedious, repetitive thing that keeps happening over and over and over again. It's because of this movie.
Okay. Maybe I'll watch it since I'm sick. I've got a little time.
Yeah, why don't you? It truly is, I believe, one of the greatest movies ever made.
And I'm not funny?
Yeah, it's funny, but it's also very touching. I think it speaks a lot to, I hate to use this phrase, but to the human condition and the ability for humans to improve themselves and, you know, the inner goodness of people, because he's really sort of a jerk at the beginning. But because he has all this, he thinks that he is basically immortal, but he has to live the same. He tries to kill himself a number of times during the movie.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because he's just tired of it. He wakes up every single morning. He wakes up to the alarm clock playing I Got You, Babe by Sonny and Cher. and you hear the more wacky morning DJs talking every single morning. He wakes up not dead. And so then he resolves. So, all right, look, if this is what I'm stuck with, I'm going to improve myself. And he learns how to play the piano and, you know, he becomes a nice guy. And,
good.
And then he decides he's going to try to make his producer fall in love with him. But he only has one day each time to woo her, you know, because at the end of the day, the next day it's Groundhog Day for him again. And he remembers everything that happened the previous day, but all the people around him don't. It's the first time for them.
Well, don't tell me the end, because now I kind of want to watch it.
Really, really good.
And I will give a report back on what I think.
Okay. I think you should. Yes. Let's start when Hogan is back next week. We should talk about this.
I'm sure Hogan has seen it. I feel like he watches movies.
I think, how many Americans are there? What's the population of this country?
I don't know.
330 million, something.
Yeah.
So 330 million minus one. That's the number of people who have seen Groundhog Day.
It's true. Add me to it. Yep.
Yeah. And soon it will be everybody. All right. That aside, there's a lot. Is that your sick child in the background?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry you could hear him. He's many closed doors away, so he must really be screaming.
Young Isaiah. Very good.
Yeah.
So what have you been following all this stuff, the back and forth between Joe Biden come lately and the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans, all this immigration stuff?
A little bit with the bills. You know, is Ukraine funding going to be in? Is Israel funding going to be in? What's going to be included in this? Honestly, I can't keep up with all of it. I know this is a cynical view to have, but I feel like Republicans are going to be weak-kneed and they're going to cave to whatever they need to get something passed. But just when it comes to immigration, I'm sure, I don't know if you have a clip or if you were going to bring this up.
No, I don't have a clip. No clip.
Okay.
So good.
The video of those illegal immigrants beating up the cops in New York City. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking, but it's also infuriating that this is a type of behavior that is just commonplace now. And you have one of the illegal immigrants that beat him up. He was stepping out of court and he's flipping off the cameras. Not only is he flipping off the press, but he's given a big like F you to America, in my opinion.
Yeah. And he was just released.
Yeah. Oh, no bail.
Yeah. He's,
your laws don't matter to me. I mean, why are we giving these people, they break the very first law coming into our country. Why do we think they would follow any other laws once they get in? And it is absolutely just, it's infuriating to me that Democrats even have any kind of sympathy whatsoever. These people, I know a couple of them have fled to California. They think they don't even know where they are because they were released without bail. This is just a horrible situation that we have for our country.
It is. And Joe Biden and, you know, first, actually, let me focus on the news media first, because I wrote my Washington Times column this week is about this topic. And, you know, we've been hearing, particularly since 2016, that the news media, they are dedicated. They are always on the hunt for disinformation, right? They're going to root out disinformation anywhere they can find it. Well, look, if you believe that, and if they mean disinformation, meaning something other than just forcing conformity to leftist orthodoxy, then what they should do is just completely tear apart what Joe Biden has been saying recently about his own record on illegal immigration, right? For 3 years, you had the White House, Biden, Kamala Harris, the vice president, two White House press secretaries, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, who's about to be impeached, by the way, because of the border stuff. All of them have been saying, oh, the border is secure, the border is secure, the border is secure, over and over and over and over again. Now, all of a sudden, when Republican governors have been sending busloads and plane loads of illegal immigrants to Democrat-run cities, it's now become a political problem. It's popping in all these opinion polls. It's the number one issue in a lot of opinion polls on voters' minds. Now Biden realizes, oh boy, I got a political problem on my hands. And the fact that he's been saying for 3 years, everything is wonderful. Now all of a sudden he acknowledges there's a crisis because it's a political problem. And guess whose fault it is? Not his. It's the evil Republicans.
Right.
He mostly picks on the House Republicans, and they're the only ones who have actually passed a bill to do something about this. And Chuck Schumer in the Senate won't even look at the darn thing. I mean, Biden, you remember in 2020, Biden campaigned on opening the border. He promised he was going to do it. He was in this wide open left Democrat primary. Everybody had to run to the left in order to get nominated. And he promised all kinds of stuff. He promised amnesty. He promised free health care. He promised work permits. He promised he would support sanctuary cities. And he was going to stop completely halt deportations, just stop them cold. As soon as he took office, and he did all those things, and he did a lot more. He stopped the Remain in Mexico policy. He's done all kinds of stuff. He's demonized the border control. That remember that phony whipping incident where they lied and said that the border agents had been whipping people running across the river. That was a lie, and Joe Biden sided with the lie against his own border patrol. And now he says, after lying that it was secure for 3 years, now he says it's someone else's fault. I mean, what a crock! The media needs to be all over him. I predict that they won't be. Oddly, I just well,
I don't have you seen? Yeah, no, me either. Have you seen the clip of him? I think he's right outside Air Force One, and he said that he doesn't have enough power to do anything to help with the border. That they won't grant him enough power to close the border. Whatever he said, but the media, sure. Right? They just took it. They were just like, "Oh yes, Mr. President, you're so right." No. There is no accountability whatsoever. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but over 300,000 illegal border crossings in December. And yeah, I think we're up.
All-time record for 1 month.
Yeah. I think we're up over, 8 million people now in the last 3 years that have illegally crossed. I mean, there is no accountability whatsoever. And it's extremely dangerous, as we've seen with the cops, but it's dangerous for every single state. Like, this is not just a problem for Texas and Arizona to deal with. It's coming to every single state, all the way in New York, they're dealing with this. And it seems that nobody wants to actually take a heavy hand to it and stop it. I mean, it is absolutely unreal that this is what we're living in.
No, and he is lying when he says, oh, I don't have the power to do this. He had the authority to overturn and undo all these policies that he undid as soon as he became president by executive order or just by, you know, telling various agencies to change their policy. He could change them back. He could. The Remain in Mexico is a perfect example. The support for sanctuary cities, all of it, the halting of deportations, all of these things are policy decisions that he made. He could undo them again, you know?
Can we talk about what was going on in Texas with the Texas National Guard and I can't remember what exactly happened recently. You know what I'm talking about?
There was a Supreme Court decision. The Biden administration, Texas had put razor wire barriers along the Rio Grande to prevent illegal immigrants from coming across. And the federal government Biden's administration wanted to go through and cut through the razor wire, dismantle the razor wire and take it down. And it was ended up in a court case and went all the way to the Supreme Court. A lower federal court had granted an injunction and prevented the feds from doing that. And when it got to the Supreme Court, all the Supreme Court did was lift that injunction. And I'm not sure if I'm using the exact right word there for the legal terminology, but the Supreme Court simply allowed the feds to resume cutting the razor wire if they so chose. They didn't say anything about what Texas as a state could or could not do. So if Texas wants to go ahead and put the razor wire back up as soon as the feds cut it, they're within their rights to do that. The Supreme Court didn't speak to that at all. It just said that the feds can go ahead and cut through. So what you have is, first of all, you had the news media, the Democrats and the news media all saying, Texas is defying the Supreme Court.
Right.
Well, that's a lie because there's nothing to defy. This court didn't tell Texas what to do or what not to do. So Texas was still within its rights to put more wire up because the Supreme Court didn't address it, as I just said. But what you have here actually is you have the President of the United States siding with illegal immigrants.
Yep, that's exactly.
Against one of our 50 states. Texas wanted to protect itself because Joe Biden would not. And Joe Biden has taken the side of the people. And I hate it when people use the word literally, but this is actually the case. He is literally clearing a path for people to enter the country illegally because he is cutting through the razor wire, physically cutting the barrier. Joe Biden is blazing a path into this country for illegal aliens to pass through. That is astounding that a president of the United States would do this. How? I can't even fathom.
It's mind-boggling. And
the media is not reporting this accurately. They're saying, Texas is defying the Supreme Court. That's not at all happening.
And here's the thing, though. It's just so mind-boggling. I mean, you already touched on this, but that a president, the current president of our country, is choosing to usher in illegal immigrants, criminals, people that are on the terror watch list. We don't know who's coming through. These people are just ushered right in at the expense of one of our states. Texas is saying, you know what? Our federal government's not going to help us. We are completely overrun. We're going to protect our own citizens. And then you have the federal government coming in saying, no, you're not. Actually, we're going to let them in. We're going to let them overrun you. I mean, that's mind-boggling. And two, yeah. I know we're going to touch on this too with Nikki Haley, but Nikki Haley was against the border wall too. So, I mean, she's weak on immigration. She's weak on a lot of other areas. But this whole, I mean, immigration, I think, has popped up to probably number one issue for Americans this election. So maybe we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. Wait, yeah, let's just, I can't get angry about that anymore. It bothers me to get that angry all the time about the immigration stuff. And I mean, the media, they have to pay attention to this and report it accurately and not join the chorus, not only not let people get away with lying about, you know, Texas is defying the Supreme Court, but report it accurately, you know. And when Biden says, the border was secure and I'm asking for more power that I don't have, you know, Lord knows if it was Donald Trump saying those things, the media would be all over.
Can you imagine?
And they just let him get away with it. And they all know he's full of it. They all of them do.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nikki Haley, what Hogan, I don't know if he said this on this podcast or whether he told me separately, but he thinks that, you know, if you look at the polls in South Carolina, which is the next upcoming contest, you have the Nevada first.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the Nevada's coming up, but Nikki Haley's not in there. So she's going to get housed. She's going to get shut out in that. She's getting zero. We know that already. But in South Carolina, it's, you know, in theory, it's the next contested contest there, even though she's trailing President Trump by, you know, 40-ish points, depending on which poll you look at. Hogan thinks that she is just sort of feeling it out here still and campaigning because, you know, she's got some weeks to go before that primary in South Carolina. And she's just seeing how it's going. And if she's still down by 40-ish points by the time that rolls around, maybe she gets out of the race at that point because she truly does not want to undergo such a humiliation of getting just completely demolished in her home state. So for right now, she's just sort of, you know, seeing how it goes. What do you think of that theory?
That's an interesting theory. I mean, she could do what Ron DeSantis did, drop out before the election even happens, like in New Hampshire. I don't know. To me, Nikki Haley is too prideful to do that. Just listening to her talk, every time I hear her talk, like after she lost in New Hampshire so much, she still came out there and like gave a victory speech. I was like, girl, you just lost by a lot. I don't understand. The President Trump is going to win South Carolina hands down by a huge margin. If she stays in past that, I think it's just silly and it is a vanity game for her. I mean, President Trump is beating Biden in seven key battleground states right now. Nikki Haley is not. Nikki Haley is just, I don't know what it is, something about her. I mean, this is not being put anything eloquently in whatsoever, but something about her just irritates me and I can't figure it out.
Could it be those victory speeches?
I think it is that. It's like kind of just like a detached from reality, just like, oh, well, I'm a woman, so you should vote for me. I hate that identity politics game. I mean, if you want people to vote for you because you're a woman, not because you're the best candidate, that is a very poor strategy, in my opinion.
Those two speeches that she gave, the one in Iowa where, you know, she talked about momentum and it really sounded like a victory speech, which is kind of jarring for people when they realize that she finished actually third. And then in New Hampshire, where she got absolutely clobbered, clobbered and lost by two touchdowns. and she still gave a victory speech. You know? So if she makes it, if she stays on the ballot, if she stays in the race until election day in South Carolina in a few weeks, you know, and she gets beat by 35, say, is she gonna, what will she claim then?
Yeah, what speech do you come out with at that point?
What a resounding victory. You know, he hears, Trump hears footsteps, he knows we're here. You know, and it's funny, when we talked to Chris LaCivita, your boss, by the way, mm-hmm. On the Trump campaign last week, he said people are urging you to pivot to the general election, but you still have Nikki Haley, who's kind of just hanging around. Do you finish her off and then pivot? And he goes, oh, we can do both. We're gonna completely destroy her, but also run against Joe Biden at the same time, basically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this, it always has been about Joe Biden because President Trump has always been so far ahead. There's no one that can compete against him for the primary. He's the only one for the job. He's the only one that's going to restore us to what we were before. So I think Nikki, prediction wise, I don't know. It could go both ways. She could drop out to avoid humiliation, but also, I see that little pride factor in there. So I could see her hanging on and trying to push through. But either way, she's not going to win. This is not her year. And I've said since the beginning, everyone that went up against President Trump this year, I wonder what it was in their brain that made them think, this is my year. I can beat President Trump. Because I just don't see it. I don't know why people would think that.
Well, every one of them, when they look in the mirror in the morning, they see a president looking back at them.
Not this year, they don't.
no, they don't. But you know, I don't. Not in the Republican Party today. There, it's not going to be Nikki Haley's day. She's the neocon, and you know, she's very much a globalist, and she's very enthusiastic about getting involved in these international conflicts.
Oh yeah,
and it's just not. It's not. That's not where the party is. You know, I mean, I don't know what she probably tops out at about. The maximum 30% of Republican voters. That's why you see her. It's no secret in New Hampshire and in South Carolina, because Democrats, easier one way or the other. South Carolina has open primaries. Right. There's no registration by party. So Democrats can vote. That's her only chance, is to get Democrats to vote for her in a Republican primary. Well, that's not how these things are supposed to work.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's been their strategy since the beginning. They did it in New Hampshire and South Carolina is the new Iowa for Democrats. So their primary is tomorrow, I believe, and they're going to be doing everything they can to turn out Democrat voters for Joe Biden. So once they vote, they've already voted once. They can't, the Reid Hoffman money can't turn them out to vote again for Nikki Haley. So,
yeah, see, that's another problem for Nikki. Gosh, isn't it terrible? How unlucky for Nikki, who is, by the way, running for the Republican nomination, that Democrats will have already spent their vote in their own election and can't raid the Republican. How unlucky for the Republican candidate, for a Republican candidate to be maybe running short on Democrats to vote for her. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Well, we got just a few weeks to find out how the cards fall. Is that the same?
I think you could say it that way.
All right,
how the chips fall, how the cards fly, or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. One of those sayings.
It's a gambling metaphor of some kind. Mm-hmm. But Nikki, this is funny. There was a tweet that went out today from Nikki Haley's campaign on her official account at Nikki Haley on X, and it was a couple of screenshots of messages that they allegedly received. From supporters, and they screenshotted them and then set the tweet up, the post on X, I should say. And they're from supporters, and they say, oh, keep going, Nikki, keep pressing, keep fighting. We need a leader like you, and so on and so forth. And the one of them is obviously some sort of type font that's made to look like it's a handwritten note, but it clearly is not a handwritten note. It's unbelievable. And I retweeted, quote tweeted it and talked about this. So you can find it on my Twitter page if you care, at Tim Murtaugh. But the other one is screenshotted. It's a screenshot of an email that they are saying that they received. And if you look at the screenshot, it's somebody, sure enough, it's the typed email, and it says, please do not give up your fight and blah, blah, blah. We need you, Nikki, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, it's signed by someone named Michael B. Okay. And there's the little blue button there that says send. So somehow A miracle of technology happened. Somehow, the Nikki Haley campaign received this email from Michael B., the great supporter, screenshotted it, and got it up on social media even before the guy clicked send.
He just sent them a preview of it before he sent it out, I guess. That's what had to have happened.
A miracle happened. That Gosh. Is so great.
Yeah.
So, top-notch work on that one.
The thing is, too, with South Carolina, she just – I mean, all states really, to me, she does not resonate with young voters at all, in my opinion. I mean, when I think of South Carolina, I think this is probably flawed, but I think of like USC, Clemson, whatever other colleges are there, but think about
College of Charleston.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about President Trump when he goes to those college football games. Just standing ovations, people cheering so loudly and like going crazy for him. Could you imagine if Nikki Haley showed up to one of those? Probably half the stand wouldn't even know who she was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, when Trump arrives at a place, there's just a buzz sweeps through the crowd, and you know, it's nobody has the star power. It just, I don't know. It's, I kind of side with Hogan on this, and I think that she's just kind of feeling it out and see how it goes, and you know, see if she maybe gets a couple of polls back that show her getting a little bump, you know, potentially closing the gap. If that's the case, you know, maybe she'll reevaluate. But I got to believe there's no way she'll stick around until Election Day if she's going to get pasted by 35 points or so in her home state. I just can't believe she would take that L. I can't, you know. Because yeah. what could she, I mean, never say never, because politics, you know, 2 weeks is an eternity sometimes.
Never but. Back down, Tim.
or sometimes back down.
Sometimes back down. Can't make me laugh. I'm coughing over here.
That's funny. So, all right, we don't want to belabor all of this because you are ill with the COVID and all that stuff. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up, and we have another week after this, probably one more show to do before the Super Bowl is in a week from this coming Sunday. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Taylor Swift has been in the news as it regards the Super Bowl. Have you heard about this?
Taylor Swift. Haven't heard of her.
She's a pop star of some sort.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Made a football player famous, I think.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I would like the record to reflect that I thought that Travis Kelce was annoying well before he started dating Taylor Swift. So I'm an Eagles fan. Jason Kelce, his brother, is the Hall of Fame caliber center for the Eagles. And Travis Kelce is his brother, and he's just an obnoxious show off. You know, I don't like Travis Kelce, and I never have. And you add the whole Taylor thing, Swift thing annoyed me, like with her showing up, and it's like, you know, I don't know, very girly. I'm going to say this, and I'm sorry, a very girly time in the seats and all, you know, and she's like, I guess it's cute, rooting for a boyfriend and all that stuff. But that was the extent of it. I thought it was annoying. And when I'm watching a game, she would pop up on my screen like 5 times during the game, and I'd be like, right. You know, come on, enough.
Yeah,
that's the extent of it. I was mildly annoyed. I might have tweeted about it once.
My dad said the same thing, actually. We were watching the game the other day, and he was like, how many times are they going to show Taylor Swift throughout this game?
Right.
It's just – I don't care.
I know. I don't care either. I just thought – you know, I thought it was something – I was on Twitter. I thought, oh, this is something mildly amusing to, you know, gripe about and sound like a grumpy old man. And sometimes I think the grumpy old man act is kind of funny, right?
Yeah. It's so strange to me, though, that like – okay, if you want to make a big deal about Taylor Swift dating this boy, maybe like the first game she comes to, that's when all the cameras go to her and say, oh my gosh, she's here, Taylor Swift in football, duh, whatever. But how many games has she been to now? Like 10? And they keep showing it over and over and over again. Mm. Like, let's move on. Let's just make it about football. This does not have to be about Taylor Swift. And as I have said before, I used to be the biggest Taylor Swift fan that existed. I love Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, but after she did her whole like campaigning for Joe Biden in 2020, I was like, eh, whatever. I mean, she still makes good songs. But now that I'm married, I can't relate to the boy drama anymore. So I guess I'm past that phase of my life.
Lord, somebody had a tweet about her that said, you know, it was a woman saying, you know, the reason why I like Taylor Swift is because her lyrics and her songwriting, she speaks to me. And like when I'm listening to her songs, she's thinking, oh my gosh, you feel that way too? Does everyone feel that way? Oh my gosh. And then so she finished up the tweet by saying, do men have someone who's like this for them? Like Taylor Swift is for us women. Mm-hmm. And I answered her and said, yeah, well, it used to be Norm Macdonald.
Oh yeah. I don't know who that is, Tim. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, so look, to put an exclamation or a period on the end of the sentence about Taylor Swift, I don't know how this got morphed into some kind of gigantic conspiracy theory where she's part of a psyop and it's going to it's all part of a big thing to organize the tilting of the election towards Joe Biden. She's a Democrat. That's known.
She did it in 2020.
She's done registration efforts, or you know, at least encouraged voter registration before. Yeah, if she endorsed Joe Biden, maybe it has an impact on somebody or not. But that doesn't have anything to do. She was going to be doing that anyway, whether or not she's dating Travis Kelce.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I just don't get the whole blowing it up thing. And I think it makes Republicans look like a bunch of hysterical.
Yes.
You know, what in the world are you thinking? There's no conspiracy. I don't know. It's just, I found it mildly annoying that she was on my TV screen while I'm trying to watch a football game, but whatever. That's it. That's where it stopped.
I don't think that it's a conspiracy theory that this is what she's going to do, because I think it's definitely what she's going to do. She got involved in 2020, so why would she not get involved in 2024? Yeah. She's even more famous now than she was in 2020, because all of a sudden there was some kind of crazy like running to Taylor Swift concerts.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's not a, whoa, oh, could she do this? No, she's going to. We know that. So
I mean, would a pop star or some kind of cultural figure getting involved in politics, would that be unprecedented?
No. And I mean, if I need to stop before I get mean, but people that take their voting advice from a pop star, I mean, the intellect there is probably not very high.
I don't know. What if Kid Rock told you to vote a certain way?
I mean, I'd probably listen. It's Kid Rock.
So it changes. It doesn't matter. It's different. Anyway. So the whole, now I think the media loves it because they can go, oh my gosh, look at these idiot Republicans picking a fight with the most popular woman on the whole planet. And if you look at it that way, it does sound pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know how in the world I guess I do know how it got out of control like that, but it just, I don't know. Didn't seem like a good idea to me to make it a whole big thing.
You know, I agree with you.
Not something to spend a lot of energy on. You know, like for me, it didn't. I think I did one tweet, maybe two, but it doesn't really rise above me turning to my 7-year-old son going, why do we have to keep seeing Taylor Swift?
I know.
And he says, who's Taylor Swift? And I say, good boy.
Good boy. Good Thomas. Good, yes.
Good boy. So funny. All right. So there's that. Do you want to, before we go, we can do this again next week, but do you want to make a prediction on the game?
Tim, I don't even know who's playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, one of the teams, right?
I guess the Chiefs, right?
Yes, because of Travis Kelce. Right there. He's not even the biggest star on the team, you know.
I think the reason they're winning, though, is because the refs are throwing the game because of Taylor Swift.
That's an additional conspiracy theory, yes.
That's what I thought.
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs might be in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in the last 5 years because they have maybe the greatest quarterback who ever lived and one of the most successful head coaches who ever lived. And Travis Kelce is a Hall of Fame tight end. There's lots of reasons
Chiefs are
in the Super Bowl. I am rooting for the Chiefs, Travis Kelce notwithstanding, Taylor Swift notwithstanding. I cannot bring myself to root for the 49ers. From the NFC. I'm an Eagles fan. Can't root for the 49ers. Can't do it.
No, can't.
And
do
I
it.
Admire, I like watching Patrick Mahomes play. He's amazing. He's a wizard.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't have strong feelings either way, but since you're pulling for them, I will pull for them too.
Okay. I appreciate that. We'll talk about scores, predicted scores next week. Sonny, thank you very much. It was a pleasure doing this with you. I'm sorry Hogan could be with us. I'm glad you could persevere with your
thank
COVID.
You Tim. Me too. And I apologize again for my voice.
No, you sound fine. You sound fine. Very much appreciated. For Sonny Joy Nelson, I'm Tim Murtaugh, and this has been the Line Drive Podcast.